When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We were scheduled here to do our NFL tiers, we're going to do those at 6:15. But we had an open segment at 6:30 that I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do with, and so we have room to bump back and welcome in Linnell Willingham, who, based off how he just entered this room, very clearly needs a session of football therapy. If you're new to the show, this is something we did with Linnell last year. Linnell, as you know, very passionate, doesn't know what to do with his takes, just winds up blurting them all out into microphones, and then 2 weeks later being like, I don't know why I said that, or I was right, but he always just has the takes. And so instead of that, we just let him talk through it with me, his football therapist.
I like
so,
to do this.
Linnell, welcome back to the couch.
Hello, Craig, Anthony. I will have my copay ready for you on the way out, as he is the front desk receptionist here at the Hoffman Football Clinic. But no, I don't know.
Linnell's an adult now. He knows about copays.
Come on now.
All right.
Hashtag 27.
But, okay, youngest in charge. What you got?
But no, I just am at a spot right now where I don't know what to think about where we currently stand. And I get so angry. My number one thing that I met with is, oh, Linnell, you got to look at it big picture context. We're in year one of a rebuild, and you've got your franchise quarterback. I get that, but that's not as fun, right? Like, all that's going to be fine in the case, no matter if they win a playoff game, miss the playoffs, whatever. That will be set in stone. The organizational structure is there. My concern, and how dare I look ahead to the future, my concern, I don't even want to say concern, my question is, are they good enough to win a playoff game? And the other question I now have, based off the way Sunday looked, are they good enough to make the playoffs? Because their playoff-making scenario is very interesting, right? They can lose.
Yeah, let me really therapize you here for a second. Let me do the thing that therapists really do, which is kind of get to the underlying core of the issue, right? What if they're not?
What if they're not? Then it's fine. And it's what it is.
Okay. Then what are we angry about?
It's not that I'm angry. I'm more so just, I'll give you a secret.
I think you said that you were angry.
I'll tell you a secret.
Okay. Just me and you here. No one else listening.
No one else is listening. HIPAA.
Wow, that's two adult jokes. You know, not adult. You never. Just keep it moving.
But I feel like I get met with such backlash when I choose to be objective about the team. And when I say objective, I mean I have no issues praising them. I also have no issues pointing out some of their most critical, glaring flaws. And it feels like whenever I bring up the flaws, the fan base's response is, oh, shut up, you you biased man. You're just a hater of the team. We're in year one of the rebuild. And I'm like, with my objective stance, never did I ignore the fact that we're in year one of a rebuild. Never did I ignore the fact that we have a franchise quarterback. Never did I ignore the fact that we have the proper organizational structure for the first time in my life. I have to look at it for what it is right now. And as we sit here, what is this about to be, week 16 of 2024, I don't know who we are right now. I told the world they broke my trust with the loss at home against Dallas. They almost broke my trust again this weekend. If they would have lost to New Orleans, I can give a damn about the clock malfunction, the bad penalties. It shouldn't have been that close of a football game, in my opinion. And obviously, you have the injury to Biadasz that kind of severely impacted the way you ran the football.
It did.
If you listen to the pregame show, I tried to tell everyone about the local product, Brian Brzee.
Let's not get too far away from the core point here.
Yes, the core point.
Which is point. That when you bring up flaws in the current team, people get mad at you.
Yes, so I don't know why.
Well,
it makes me mad in return, because my mentions is full of nothing but negativity. I called out Dan Quinn. I was a huge, I was perplexed by his decision.
Called out Dan Quinn for which decision?
The decision to kick a 54-yard field goal after your defense had given up three straight scoring possessions.
Did perhaps your presentation of said information, you think, impact the response? Did you think perhaps how at times you leave no wiggle room for potential alternatives could have a result in the vitriol coming back at you? Has that crossed your mind, youngest in charge, movement leader?
It has crossed my mind, and I
appreciate
you.
Have you perhaps allowed that to impact how you present information in the future?
No.
I think we've got to the core of the problem here.
I'm not going to change, is what the people need to understand.
Lito, you know you.
I know me very well.
Which is that I think at times you present things that are perhaps more negotiable, perhaps not quite as black and white as black and white. And not only is it black and white, but you're an absolute moron if you disagree. Which is why you and Russell scream at each other between 1 and 4 twice a week ad nauseum, because you both actually operate that way, which is hilarious because often you are on the opposite sides of arguments where you think if the other person takes the opposite side that they are the dumbest person walking the face of the earth, and thus you look at each other as if the other one is the dumbest person walking on the face of the earth.
Very well said.
So the thing is, though, if both of you who do a lot of work and pay attention and have been covering this league, in Chris's case, been covering the NFL for a long, long time, in your case, has been covering it very intensely for a shorter amount of time, hence the youngest in charge, and you guys can come to different conclusions, like perhaps there is room here. For instance, the 54-yard field goal, I think, was a questionable decision. I can't vehemently disagree with the idea of a guy who can kick a 54-yard field goal, kicking it to go up 10.
Yes.
And so that is a relevant plot point here. I think by the same token, like, you can't both acknowledge that if they don't wind up making the playoffs or if they're not good enough to win a playoff games, because it is year one, that then everyone has failed, everything sucks, and the whole world is on fire. But
I've never even alluded to it.
I do think perhaps your presentation at times makes it seem like the world is ending and that anyone who is not five alarm firing is that dog in that emoji who's sitting there with the fire behind him going, this is fine.
Yeah.
When in reality, like, that's a dog sitting in front of a presentation of a fire that's like being projected onto the wall. Nothing's actually on fire because it is year one of a rebuild. And so, like, I think both. And to be totally transparent with you, because we haven't talked about this yet, but I've talked about it on the show, I don't know what to do with Sunday's game. Because if you go play-by-play through it, the offensive notes, like, the offense is pretty good. They didn't go 3 and out the entire day. Defense, all in all, pretty good. And the drives where they weren't, they had some really bad breaks / one incredibly stupid penalty by Benjamin St. Juice. So I think, like, trying to make sense of Sunday's game is very difficult. But at the end of the day, sometimes in seasons, you have to survive like that. The Chiefs are 13-1 and like aren't that good, but you find ways to win.
Sure.
And I think that there's power in that too. And then you hope that you can eventually figure it out and play your best when it matters the most. The Chiefs have mastered that. They're 2-time defending Super Bowl champions. I do not anticipate the Commanders upending their reign. But some of this too is like, once you get better players, these near interceptions become interceptions. These near misses on offense or these missed assignments on blocks become better when insert offensive lineman who's an average to below average NFL starter becomes an above average NFL starter. That is just the reality of the talent level on this roster. And so you have to just eventually go, hey, yes, you would like to see better, but I understand why it's not better, and that will help you sleep better at night.
Productive therapy session, I would call it. I think what you said at the end is like what I always keep in the front of my mind, despite me not saying it as often. The reason for their problems, a majority of them, is a talent thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's fine, but I have to ask the question still. Like, it doesn't mean I shouldn't ask, because the one thing that I continue to believe will ultimately be their undoing and their biggest flaw, and I've said it to you countless times throughout the season, I just don't think they can stop the run when it matters against teams that are going to say, hey, we're running it. And that's okay. But I don't know if that is a personnel issue, because the personnel up front is, like, pretty decent. Like,
it's and is it, like, Carl Davis is playing on from the practice squad. Like, Sheldon Day, they found on the street this year.
Your depth needs to improve.
Those aren't depth. Those are, like, part of the rotation. Those guys play, like, 35% of the snaps. Like, that they are not Seattle Dan Quinn deep, like, on the D-line.
Not at all.
And they also don't have any stars. Like, there's no – it's one thing if you're playing those guys. And, like, to be fair to those two, like, Carl Davis didn't have a great game on Sunday. But, like, Sheldon Day's been excellent, especially by Sheldon Day standards. Like, he's been a hell of a find by this pro scouting department. And credit to Dan and the other folks that had been with him previously and knew he was available. But it's also different if, like, Myles Garrett can make you five plays a game on the edge. They don't have that dude either. And so I think that, like, all of this is relevant information. They're also not built to play from behind. Like, that's not stylistically how they want to be, and that's a conscious choice. And in the NFL, you just can't do everything. It's too hard to be great at everything. And if you are for one magical season, dudes are then going to want to get paid, and you're not going to be able to sustain it for more than, like, two. Now, if you're the Chiefs and the thing that powers that is your quarterback, then somehow you can wind up 13-1 and he just finds ways to win even though he's not even having a good year when you're not that good. But this is life in the NFL. It's hard. And I think the discourse around the NFL would be so much better in general on all these silly shows that you and I are a part of and we watch on television and on down the list if more people started their conversations with, this is the NFL. It's really hard. Okay, let's discuss it. Because it level sets how difficult it is when all of the best players and all of the best coaches in the world are constantly doing battle through a litany of rain, wind, injury, and other factors that are beyond their control.
And ironically enough, despite my, like, lack of faith in them to win a postseason game, I think the team, and I've tossed back and forth on this, I think the team that they'll have the best shot to beat is if they get matched up with Philadelphia, because I look at it from the standpoint of, okay, when you're playing a team for the third time, I think the emphasis on the coaching staff and the adjustments, like, ratchet up, and I like our guys versus their guys on the coaching staff.
I don't disagree with that.
Still don't think they'll probably win, because I think the talent discrepancy is just...
They got dudes who can make plays.
Huge.
Like, at the end of the day, like, Jaden this year versus zone coverage, fantastic. Jaden this year versus man-to-man, not great. He was awesome against man-to-man at LSU. Why? Because he had Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas.
Man-beaters.
This year, you can pick your matchup. Don't like it against a lot of teams with this receiving
corps. So let me go and say this too. Then would I be considered a hater? I can't be considered a hater. I've gone through crazy things to watch these games before through my childhood that I've shared on Windbag Wednesday and Throwdown Thursday. But I still wake up today. I'm geeked up that the Atlanta game's in primetime. Not really. It screws us all over as media members, and I hate it.
Yeah, that's personal. I get but you I and I are like on the same page there.
I do like it. Yes. But I look at the way Washington played Sunday versus New Orleans, and I look at what Atlanta has, and I go, are they going to beat Atlanta?
I mean,
if they missed the postseason, would it be considered disappointment?
Was it Tennessee beat someone the week before they played the Commanders, and then the Commanders just absolutely dump truck them? Like, the league, it's a week-to-week league.
Not right about...
How we're going to close the therapy session, because we are running out of time.
Well, I have
in a shocking turn of events, Linnell has run us long. It's a week-to-week league. That's the league. It's hard. Remember, Repeat after me. Here's your affirmation to close football therapy. The NFL is hard.
The NFL is hard.
Things change.
Things change.
Predicting things will make you look foolish.
Predicting things will make you look foolish, but I'll continue to do so for the clicks.
Don't say for the
just
clicks.
Just a joke.
No, it's not.
Craig, thank you as always. We'll work on Linnell
click harvesting next week.
Click harvesting is great.
Stop and show. Linnell is going to go over there, and he's going to go and do overtime. I presume that's why you're here.
Yes.
I don't think you've showed up a day early for Winback Wednesday.
No.
I know that show takes some preparation mentally and otherwise.
Well, for sure.
But Linnell's got overtime over on 106.7 The Fan.
Thank you, my friend.
Tonight. Thanks for stopping in, buddy. When we get back, it'll be our NFL tier rankings. But first, let's get an update on the latest in the world of women's sports presented by Wawa. Chicken how you want it at Wawa with customizable crispy or roasted chicken sandwiches.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with 2 sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980, and it is time for our NFL Tier Rankings Week 16 edition. I cannot believe, Anthony, it is Week 16 in the NFL. We're going to hit our prime contenders first, and I think that it's not going to take very long because I don't really feel like there was a lot of movement at the top of the charts this week, but alas, let's run through it. As a reminder, we have 5 tiers. We started the year with 4, and we've added one, which we call actual hell for the absolute worst teams in the league. But we start off at the other end of the spectrum with our prime contenders before getting to puncher's chance, interesting but not quite good enough, and then no chance in heck. The Kansas City Chiefs, by hook or by crook, they continue to be in. We almost created another tier on top of prime contenders, just called blessed and highly favored, and put the Chiefs there. And lo and behold, Anthony, that's exactly what they did again. Didn't really play that well, but Jameis Winston blessed them with 4 interceptions. And the only bad thing is, it's pretty bad, and that is that Patrick Mahomes might miss this weekend because his ankle's hurt.
Well, at least they were able also to win a game by more than 1 score, man. All season long, we've gotten on them about, you know, just them always winning these 1-score games. But, yeah, when Jameis Winston throws you 4 interceptions, I would hope you win that game.
Yeah, and they sure did. And then we get to watch about it on Hard Knocks. Speaking of Hard Knocks, the Ravens are also there. They beat the ever-loving crap out of the Giants. Congrats, you stay. Lions, Bills, they played each other. And they played each other in one of the games of the year. They both stay. Steelers and Eagles played each other. Eagles won fairly definitively. The Steelers basically didn't touch the ball in the fourth quarter. Just an unbelievable drive by Philly to close this thing out. I think Pittsburgh gets an asterisk, Anthony. And I don't want to move them down until I see them do something or have a performance like this against either another team that's worse or if George Pickens' injury lingers. Because without Pickens, this offense doesn't have much of a chance, especially against the best in the league. And that's what we saw on Sunday. It was exactly what we thought, but because it's injury-related, a team that throws a bunch of deep balls without their best deep ball guy, a team that relies on vertically stretching the field without the guy who does that for them, I don't think that actually, who they are as a team, my opinion on them hasn't changed.
Yeah, I mean, George Pickens is definitely a huge reason, you know, their offense has been successful. But I think this team has leaned on their defense all year long. And Philly, even though they didn't have, you know, the best or the success on the ground, that pass defense was getting carved up a little bit, man. You playing all that man defense. So I think Philly just, you know, I mean, I think Pittsburgh just has to figure out the defensive thing as far as their passing game goes, just as Baltimore had to do early in the season. And I'm not going to say they figured it out, but it's better.
I trust Mike Tomlin to figure it out. I also think that playing man against the Eagles is particularly challenging because they have the best receiver duo arguably in the entire league.
Yep.
It's not going to happen against other teams. Now, TJ Watt misses time again late in the season. Like, that's problematic. But Steelers, they get an asterisk, but they're not going anywhere as of yet. Eagles obviously stay. Packers, they won. They stay. Vikings, they won definitively last night over a Bears team. By the way, that game was on replay earlier up on the TV here in the studio. I didn't watch it last night. Every single time I looked up and the Bears had the ball, Caleb was running for his life and then making one of the sickest throws I've ever seen to a receiver who dropped it. Was that how the game actually went? And also, I don't know how much of that is on Caleb. He just like runs around like a maniac and he should be just getting the ball out quickly. But it's one of those like where you're just like, man, can that dude get some help? And then he does something like physically impossible, like the greatest horse shot you've ever seen.
Yeah, I think it's a mix of both. It's a mix of him holding onto the ball long, and then also, yeah, the receivers dropping pass. Like Keenan, I think, had two drops. DJ Moore, he's had drops this season. Like, it's like, dang, like, if he's going to really go out there and sacrifice his body, help him.
Also, quit sacrificing your body so much. Like, you got to find some easy completions, bro. Like, this is the NFL. It is going to be hard. Okay, that's the prime contender tier. When we get back, we will knock out the rest of the puncher's chance category. I don't think anybody necessarily needs to come up. Does everybody in puncher's chance get to stay? And is there anybody interesting but not quite good enough that deserves a call up? And then we'll take care of Poopstown as well. Our tier rankings as we continue through on a Tuesday here on The Hoffman Show. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We got our NFL tier rankings for you. We've gone through the prime contenders. There were no movement from last week's edition of the show, where we had the Chiefs, Ravens, Lions, Bills, Steelers, Eagles, and Packers, as well as the Vikings in the top tier. All right, puncher's chance, Anthony. Washington Commanders. I still think they're exactly who they've been all along. A team that, by the way, if they can just hit a couple of big plays down the field, will drop 30 on you. A team that defensively largely is playing well, but can't get out of its own way in key situations. If they can avoid key situations, and none of that matters, which goes back to the offense. And that's kind of the ultimate puncher's chance. They are a team that has a big haymaker, and you just got to hope they don't land it on you.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it, you know, throughout the season where we have games, like you just mentioned, where we go out there and lay 40 on you. We've had three 40-point games this year, or has it been four?
It's
Panthers.
Panthers, Titans, I think, are the only two, but they've had like 38 and a couple of others.
That's probably what it is then. But yeah, we know
Cincinnati,
we're more than
amongst others. Yeah.
Yeah, we know we're more than capable of, you know, keeping up with some of these teams. It's more so we just got to string together stops, man. Good gracious.
Yeah, which involves not committing stupid penalties. And you know what? Something that I haven't had a chance to point out at all today throughout our discourse of this. Like, this team did make an adjustment in this game. Like, Jeremy Chinn came on, and this is so, like, minutia, but, I mean, it also matters a ton. There's a play late in the game that Chinn comes on a blitz, and he's not going to get there. And I think in a different game, Chinn blasts Spencer Rattler. He's just there enough that he probably could have gotten away with hitting him. And instead, after Fowler's been called for two roughing penalties that are questionable at best, wrong if you ask me, Chinn like is also really careful with how he jumps, but like kind of waves his hands in Rattler's face. Rattler throws the ball away, and instead of getting a roughing penalty, either by a silly hands to the face or a late hit, he avoids it. And like, that's a smart play by Jeremy Chinn. Would, from a play style standpoint and a make the quarterback think about it standpoint, I'd rather Jeremy Chinn absolutely drive his shoulder pads through the middle of Spencer Rattler's chest? Yep, that's football. Not dirty, it's just the way it goes. Sucks to be you sometimes as an NFL quarterback. But he didn't, because he didn't want to pick up a dumb penalty. And so, it's in there somewhere. The right amount of the aggression meter. The right amount of the make plays meter. But that's something that hopefully they can continue to find the right balance of. But it also changes week to week because officials change week to week. Sean Hockley's crew is notoriously tic-tac. And boy, were they on Sunday. Okay. Commanders. Puncher's chance. Chargers got worked by the Buccaneers. They are the team that I'm most considering, I think, moving down. Because they have just not been the same since J.K. Dobbins was out. I'm putting a star by them.
Yeah, and the defense, too. Some question for concern.
Yeah. To say the least. To say the least. Okay, Broncos, they showed their mettle. Seahawks, I'm willing to see if Geno can stay. Like, they got to go compete with Green Bay this weekend. If they get their doors blown off by Green Bay, we're out of here on the Seahawks.
Yeah, if Geno doesn't play, do we just automatically...
Well, if Geno doesn't play the way that Sam Howell played, they're in actual hell. Like, Sam, man, holy crap. That was horrendous.
Yeah, real bad.
Rams, ultimate puncher's chance, as discussed. They had a wacky game in the rain, but they won. And the Bucks, well, they have about as big a haymaker as the Commanders do. They put up 40 on what was previously the best scoring defense in the league. So I think they are correctly situated in puncher's chance. They are not better, but they are certainly not worse. Okay, interesting but not quite good enough. The Houston Texans. If we are talking about just their defense, they are in puncher's chance. But their offense, and I know it's like, oh, but they have C.J. Stroud. They've got one of the best quarterbacks. They are in some ways a really, like, classic puncher's chance team. If C.J. just goes out and has a day with Nico Collins, the way their defense plays. But their offense is bad. Like, C.J.'s not going to have some massive day. He can save them from being heinous. But offensively, like, they're a mess. And they continue to be a mess. So they're right where they're supposed to be. They're interesting, but they're not good enough.
Yeah, I would agree. They did clinch their division as well. So whether or not we like it, I think they have to be in puncher's chance. Just because they're in the playoffs.
All right, fine.
Is that fair?
No, you're correct. By definition, the way we set this up is also, what, how do we feel, but also from a kind of a definitional standpoint, puncher's chance is like you're in the playoffs and you wouldn't be surprised to win a playoff game. And depending on the matchup, if they're going to be at home, I'm going to put Houston Texans. I've never made a note like this before in this document. Reluctantly, because they won a poop division.
Yeah, it's like the Commander from 2020.
Fine. You congratulations, Houston Texans. You're in puncher's chance. Whee! Falcons. Interesting, but not good enough. They're just
trash.
Not. They're not. They're kind of interesting still, but they're not good enough. Indianapolis Colts. Are they even interesting anymore?
No.
I'm so sorry. Indianapolis Colts. I think also by definition, when you get eliminated from the playoffs,
They still have a chance, but it's very slim.
When you get eliminated from the playoffs?
Yeah.
If you want to cut that and send it to Z and this becomes a cold takes, then I'll take a small part of his playoff bonus.
All right, I got you.
Cincinnati. They're still interesting offensively, and they also can wreck some other teams, including some teams that I think we're talking about here, kind of in this range. But Cincinnati's interesting. Miami, I don't even know if they're interesting anymore. I think I'm ready to move the Dolphins. They did lose.
Ooh, yeah. Sorry, guys.
Sorry, I think we're out on you.
Yeah. Get to stepping.
Goodbye. Arizona Cardinals. If anything, they would move up, not down, but I kind of think they're where they belong.
Yeah, I agree.
I need to see more consistency out of you. There's a chance they wind up back up if they play, have another good game, but they just had too many stinkers. The Panthers, all you had to do is be competitive. And you at least qualified for interesting because Bryce Young and, like, what's the future? I just think it's time. With three weeks to go, goodbye. You're down. And
they had a nice run, though, Craig.
They did. Congratulations to Carolina for being interesting for many more weeks than we thought you were going to be. Yeah, they were favored, and that was clearly a mistake. San Francisco 49ers. Are they interesting anymore?
No.
I guess technically they're still alive, so we're going to keep them there.
They're still alive, but they're not interesting.
Yeah, well, I think they're interesting. All right, no chance. Raiders. The Raiders, I guess they have a quarterback change coming. Aiden O'Connell played last night, didn't he? Are the Raiders in actual hell? I think we now define as actual hell. We're gonna change up the definition. Are you firing your coach?
Nice.
Are the Raiders in actual hell? Are they firing Antonio Pierce?
They're firing him.
You think so? They hired him last year.
Yeah, but you know, I think this also goes back to
honestly,
hire the interim.
Yeah. I think they're in actual hell because they're not gonna fire Antonio Pierce. Jacksonville Jaguars. Mac Jones is their starting quarterback. They're going down.
Yeah.
They're going down. Somehow what we're going to do is we're just moving the target on Carolina. Carolina,
and they lost to the Jets, though, Craig, so they have
They have to go. The New England Patriots.
I don't think they're in actual hell.
I think they're in no chance. I think they can stay there. The Saints.
The Saints.
You know what? I'm going to keep the Saints out of hell. They probably belong there, but that team plays hard, man.
Yeah.
I have not seen a lot of teams like out physical the Commanders this year. Like the list is very small, and it's like the Ravens, the Steelers, the Saints absolutely blasted the Commanders on some plays this weekend. They did a really good job at the line of scrimmage. There was a play in my notes, the way I wrote it, Ant, was Cam Jordan sunned John Bates. John Bates doesn't get sunned.
I know exactly what play you're talking about.
There's another play where Quan Martin, who also doesn't get sunned. Quan Martin suns people. He just will take a wide receiver and be like, you, sir, are dead now. You're going to run block me? Get the out of here. MVS escorts Quan Martin out the club. Like, goodbye.
Out the club is hilarious.
I was like, yo, where's Quan Martin going? What are we doing? Holy crap. Good job, MVS. And that was like late in that game. So, Saints, you earn my respect. You're not any good, but you earn my respect. Cowboys. They won. They get to stay. The Browns are in actual hell.
Yeah, they got to get the step in real quick.
How many four interception games are you going to have, Jameis? Jesus Christ. Chicago Bears.
Ryan Poles, man.
They've already fired their coach. They're in actual hell.
Yeah.
All right, and then the other teams we just moved down. The Colts, the Dolphins, I think that's fine. Like Panthers, Patriots, Saints, Cowboys, Colts, fine. And then the Jets, the founding author of actual hell, are they staying down there?
Yeah, they're staying.
Even though they won? Okay.
They played the Jags.
Congratulations. Giants, the Titans. Will Levis had a QBR of 1.1. And then the Raiders, Jags, Browns, and Bears. Okay, that's it. Those are the tiers. Does this feel right? One group is the Chiefs, Ravens, Lions, Bills, Steelers, Eagles, Packers, Vikings. I think it feels right.
I think it's fantastic.
Next group, Commanders, Chargers, Broncos, Seahawks, Rams, Bucks, Texans.
Looks good.
Texans, what are you doing there? Falcons, Bengals, Cardinals, Niners. That actually is off. That makes me feel so much better about that tier.
Yeah. Yeah, it does actually.
Those four teams were meant to be together.
It doesn't make sense, to be honest.
Yeah, it's like, you're just not good enough, but like, you should be. And then, no chance, Panthers, Patriots, Saints, Cowboys, Colts, Dolphins. Yeah. It's kind of a potpourri. And then the Jets, Giants, Titans, Raiders, Jags, Browns, and Bears.
Yeah, some bad culture down there.
Yeah. All right, I think we actually nailed that. I feel very proud of our work this week.
Yes, sir.
We'll do it again next week. It'll be the Christmas Eve edition of the NFL tier rankings. Next week, by the way, next week, regular schedule for us outside of Wednesday. Same thing for the following week. We're off on Christmas Day and New Year's Day. We have all kinds of special programming for you here on the Team 980. When we get back, speaking of special, real things, real people said, into real microphones. Commanders make a practice squad move today. They are signing Tyree Jackson, who is a former quarterback in college at the University of Buffalo, was drafted as such, then made the switch to tight end. He's going to join their practice squad with Zach Ertz still in the concussion protocol. Jeremy Chinn remains in concussion protocol as well. Of course, the Commanders starting safety. TBD if either plays this week. And in order to make room for Jackson on the practice squad, the Commanders have placed Kaz Allen on IR. So if you had hopes of him maybe coming up and making an appearance this year with Austin Eckler out, that is not going to happen as he has an injury. Big trade in Major League Baseball, 2019 NL MVP, Cody Bellinger, won that award with the Dodgers, is now going to go from the Cubs, where he was last year, to the Yankees. After the Yankees miss out on retaining Juan Soto to the Mets, Bellinger is coming to New York, following in his father's footsteps. His dad played for the Yankees from 1999 to 2001, Clay Bellinger. That is what's trending. I'm Craig Hoffman on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show wrapping up here on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Tomorrow on the show, it is Wednesday tomorrow, right? Today's Tuesday, Anthony? Tomorrow,
Wednesday is actually the day after Tuesday, Craig. So it's the day before Thursday, which is Tuesday, which is Wednesday.
Man, you went so far on that one that you tripped over your own joke.
I did indeed.
Yeah, good job. Good job out of you. Excellent work. A+, no notes. Well, tomorrow, which famously is Wednesday, you'll hear from Dan Quinn. You'll hear from Jaden Daniels. And we'll see what else you hear from. I might pull something crazy tomorrow. I might have to pull a big guest tomorrow. Anthony, I'm gonna tell you on the intercom system. And for those people, I guess people, if you turn your mic on, people can hear your reaction. But people watching on YouTube can see your reaction. Here's who I'm thinking of tomorrow.
Okay.
You like how I did the offensive coordinator cover my mouth so people couldn't lip read?
That's all you need?
Yeah. So I think we might have tomorrow on the show.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Imagine if we did a whole show like that. Just people can't lip read us the entire show.
You guys want to know who Craig said?
Yeah. So I might have him or her tomorrow.
That's smooth. That'd be exciting.
We've been texting about some stuff, and I'm like, you know what? You want to just have these conversations on the radio?
Yes, sir.
So might text said person, see what they're up to at 5 o'clock tomorrow. Other than that, a Wednesday means, what do we do on Wednesdays? Pick six returns because we'll have big things to talk about. I forgot, what else do we do on Wednesdays? Oh, it's a short show tomorrow. That's the other thing. Tomorrow we're only on until 6:15.
Yep.
So we got a lot of stuff we're gonna have to cram in. What do we normally do at 5:30 on Wednesdays? Why can't I remember anything? Why am I losing my mind?
We have competition Wednesday.
Oh, that's what's at 5:30 on Wednesdays. That wasn't a bit. That wasn't me trying to troll you. That was me actually.
You sure?
Forgetting. Yeah. No, I.
That's not how you get, man.
I know. this is how I get. I'm excited because didn't I pick Washington
in that game?
I think I picked Washington in the Commanders game. So
if you did, that means
you have a shot because that means I didn't go 3-0 for the first time in 3 weeks.
Ooh, interesting.
So,
but I also think I picked the Colts to cover and they got a much dumped.
All right, so I guess it's coming down to two other games and maybe a tiebreaker.
Yeah.
So I think that's incentive to tune in tomorrow at 5:30. Anthony's now not going to sleep well tonight. I'm excited for this. I'm excited.
I might
for
not, Craig.
And again, we've already established that the loser. Well, I guess we have two choices because we have we have one more competition. No, we will. Okay, the loser this week has to wear the Rooster Christmas sweater, which Chris has left out there, or at least it was. Yeah, it's out there in the bullpen.
Yep.
Next week, the loser is going to have to eat some kind of hot, spicy food at a tailgate when Anthony and I join some of you tailgating before Sunday Night Football.
I'm excited, man.
So hopefully we keep our promises and I actually remember all that. Okay, I know there was something really good for real things. I don't remember what it is, but I'm going to hit the button because we're running out of time, and then I'm going to remember.
Real things.
We're not going to be so this year.
Real people.
5-11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
All right, I had to make myself forget, actually, because otherwise I probably could have talked about this for the entire show. Recently, Bo Jackson confirmed one of the craziest things that I've ever heard an athlete do. There is football speed, there is track speed, and turns out Bo Jackson had track speed.
I was on my way to track practice, mm-hmm. and they had to come by there. There had to be 20 to 30 guys there, and we were in inside running, and the coach said, hey, Bo, we got a bunch of scouts here from all over the country, and we got a little combine here, the timing guys for the 40. Why don't you come in and run a 40 for them? Do I have to? I ran my first 40, and about 5 yards from the finish line, I kind of like let up and just cruised through, and I ran a 4.3. And I got down there, so my coach, as I'm walking back, my coach is walking toward me. He said, hey, why don't you run the damn 40? Get these people what they want. So I said, all right. So I said, you got to open the back door because they only had about 10 to 15 yards of space for you to stop once you cross the line. I said, you got to open the back door because I can't stop in this distance if you want me to do. So they raised the back door up open. And I told the guy that I was with, I said, get my bag and just go on and start walking because I'm not going to stop and I'm not coming back. I'm just going to
keep on going.
Dropping the mic. Yeah.
So I got down and everything was done electronically. And I didn't find out till after practice. After track practice, what I had run, and some of the guys that had stopwatches, they had me at a 3.9 or 4 flat with stopwatches, but the electronic timer had got me at a 4.13.
Bo freaking Jackson. We'll see you tomorrow.